Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Arroyo Grande City Council meeting. This is Tuesday, November 13th. Roll call, please.
Councilman Brown?
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Here. Item three is our flag salute, and we're very pleased to have James Rodart here from the Arroyo Grande Lions Club to lead us in the flag salute. If you would please remain standing for our invocation. Para-Rabbinic Fellow Jared Sharon from Congregation Beth David is here to lead us in that.
This invocation is a little longer than usual because it includes thanks to the City Council. I hope you will abide the longer invocation. Dear Lord, we give thanks for living in the freest country in the world. We appreciate being in the most diverse and tolerant state in the Union. But above all tonight, we give thanks for living in what has to be the best hometown that anyone could wish for. Over 1,000 dog owners, not to mention their dogs. We are grateful to the City of Arroyo Grande for providing a site where our dogs can run free and where people of all generations can share their love for their dogs and their friendship with one another. We give one that reflects the cooperation of virtually all citizens of Arroyo Grande as we unite in common celebrations and in causes for the good of our community. May this council continue to progress in its efforts to be proactive rather than reactive. May we support renewable energy, and may we continue in Arroyo Grande to set an example of nonpartisan harmony for our state and for our country. And finally, dear God, be with those men and women in our armed forces and those of our allies who are fighting on behalf of freedom abroad, recent natural disasters. Be with the homeless wherever they are, and especially be with the people of goodwill throughout the world. And let us say, amen.
Jared, thank you very much. Let's plan on another date. Well, James, you sat down too quickly. You know the drill, I think. If you do our flag salute, we get to hear a little bit about the Lions Club and some of the things that you folks are doing, and I know you do a lot.
First off, we serve where we need it, and you know, we try to do upcoming events, Children in Motion for fundraiser. That's becoming this Friday. If you race out and get your tickets, I think it's going to be ending today, but Friday the Lions Club will be cooking. And we just had we have a Arroyo Grande High School. And like you say, we have a lot we do for the community. I'm proud to be a Lions Club. It's all for the community, too. And we have,
Okay.
Any questions?
Okay. Well, good. We appreciate you being here and hope you'll come back and do our flag salute for us again.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, James. Okay, yellow speaker slip filled out with one exception in the box in the rear. Okay, moving on to item 5, agenda review. 5A is closed session announcements. We have none this evening. 5B, move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only, and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
The motion carries. Item 6 is special presentations. We have none this evening. Item 7 is community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and address the council on items that are not posted on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts brief, 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as one body. Once again, items that are not on this evening's agenda. If anyone would like to come forward, this would be your opportunity. Anyone? Okay. We'll go to item 8, which is our consent agenda. And if you're following along on this evening's agenda, we'll be addressing consent items 8A through 8I. The consent agenda consists of a group of items, as you see listed there, and the council normally approves the consent items dependent action, further discussion, or clarification. This is also an opportunity for members of the public to come forward and comment on any of the items on the consent agenda. So if you're taking a look at that agenda this evening, 8A through 8I, if there's anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and comment on any of those items, this would be your opportunity. No one, we will close public comment on the consent agenda, bring this back to the council. What is the will of the council? Anything to pull this evening? Okay, there are no items to be pulled. I'll entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8I.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion?
Mayor Pro Tem Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. All right, that takes us to item 9, public hearings. Once again, we have two this evening. 9A is a Gilder House project. And Teresa, I understand that there's a request from the applicant to continue this item until the December 11th meeting. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's from the applicant in order for them to continue analyzing costs associated with the project. They're requesting a continuance to a date certain of December 11th.
Okay. Let me ask members of the audience, is there anyone in here that came here this evening to address the Alder House project? Okay, then we won't take any public testimony this evening, obviously. And we'll bring this to the council, and I need a motion to continue this.
So moved.
Second.
All right, we have a motion to continue the item 9A until December 11th. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Brown?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. All right, that takes us to 9B, and this is a consideration of a proposal to install shade structures at Rancho Grande Park. And John Rogers.
John was having a little trouble with the PowerPoint, so he might be held up.
Okay, can we take a look at the box in the back and get the speaker slips?
Otherwise, we could. If you want to take things out of order, we could do the budget report real quickly.
Sure, yeah. I see Angie with a hopeful look on her face. So, so we'll go ahead and jump on the agenda to new business while we fix our technical problems with 9B. And this is 11A, consideration of the fiscal year 2012-2013 first quarter budget.
What I meant to say was, darn, I've got to go first. Good evening. At first quarter, the budgeted general fund balance for June 30th, 2013 is approximately $2.6 million and is 19% of appropriations. General fund revenues are at 10% of budget. This is below 25% for several reasons. This report only includes 1 month of sales tax. Transit occupancy tax is only for 2 months. The majority of property tax is received in December and April, and triple flip payments are not received until February and May. At this time, staff is only recommending revenue adjustments based on actual estimates received from the County of San Luis Obispo's Auditor Controller's Office. Staff is requesting a net decrease in revenues of approximately $46,000. It is anticipated that additional revenue adjustments will be addressed in the mid-year budget update. With 25% of the year complete, general fund expenditures are at 24% of the budget. Staff is requesting an increase in appropriations in the general fund of $12,000 to repair park irrigation pumps and approximately $142,000 in carryovers for ongoing projects. This report also includes a fiscal year 2011-12 preliminary general fund annual update. This is preliminary due to the fact that the auditors are still reviewing the city's records and additional changes may be made before staff presents the comprehensive annual financial report. At year-end, revenues exceeded expenditures by approximately $229,000. Due to this increase in the fund balance, staff is recommending that $250,000 that was originally budgeted from the local sales tax fund to balance the fiscal year 12-13 budget be replaced with these general fund reserves. The projected 11-12 year-end fund balance is $3.2 million after carryovers and is 25% of appropriations. It is anticipated that the final CAFR will be presented to the council at the first meeting in December or the first meeting in January. Just to touch on a couple of the other funds, the local sales tax fund. At first quarter, the local sales tax fund had a projected ending fund balance of approximately $309,000, which is 10% of appropriations. Staff is requesting that the $250,000 mentioned earlier be transferred to the pavement management program to be used towards resurfacing of Halcyon Road and portions of Fair Oaks Boulevard. The water fund, the estimated ending fund balance in the water fund is $1.6 million. This meets the city's fiscal policy goal of 60 days of operating expenses, which is approximately $350,000 plus $500,000. Currently, budgeted expenditures exceed revenues by approximately $600,000. However, staff plans to address this at the mid-year budget review once the water and sewer master plan has been completed. Tonight, staff is requesting an increase in appropriations of $4,800 for annual water system fees and approximately $29,000 in carryovers. That concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions for Angie?
Okay. Real quick, Angie, I just am double-checking because I didn't get the email about the general fund balance. Even once we move from taking that $250,000 out of the sales tax fund and taking it out of the general instead, so there's not a huge net difference just as far as real money is concerned, but once we pull that $250,000 out of the general fund, our reserve is still going to be at what percent?
At 19%.
At 19. Okay. And what was it before that then?
25%.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
I just had a quick question, and I think, Steve, you and I probably talked about this issue, too. Has there been a drop in the water fund?
Yes, a significant drop. Revenues have decreased with the water conservation and a larger amount of foreclosures than we thought. So we hope to address that in the next water rate study.
And do you know what the approximate gap is compared to what we thought it might be?
No, not off the top of my head, but I can get that information for you. I know that I believe that last year, I think we were around $500,000 or $600,000 lower in revenues than expenditures.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. There are no other questions. We do like to open our general items to the public. This is not a public hearing, but it is a significant item for us. So if there's anyone in the audience who would like to make a comment on 11A, this would be an opportunity. Anyone? Okay, seeing no one, we will come back and start with Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, first, as always, an excellent report. And I've always found these, I particularly like the spreadsheet portion of it where you break out the pieces. And just as a general comment, what a great job staff has done of controlling costs. I mean, it's really great to be at the end of the year and be able to return that move and making that move as early as possible. So I'm very supportive of what we're doing tonight. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Ray.
I, too, am... okay isn't the right word, but this is great. The report is fine. I want to acknowledge our city employees that there's a line in here deep in the report that says supplies, or that the supply usage, I think is what it meant to say, is down due to the diligence of the departments to contain their expenditures. And everybody at every level in this organization is working hard to save $5 here and $10 there. And that adds up to five and six figure numbers by the end of the year. So I just wanted to acknowledge that everyone, not just department heads, that such great conservation on the part of our citizens is causing issues, so we'll have to fix that. But I just wanted to take a moment to commend everyone all the way down the ladder in the organization, and I'll be supporting this tonight.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Nothing further to add. I'm too in agreement with the council members as well.
Okay, thanks. Just optimism that we might get through this. It's still going to take a little bit of belt tightening, and we're in the midst of negotiations right now, and we're going to continue on with many of the practices that Councilmember Ray outlined. She did a good job of pretty much summing up how all of us feel. So good work here. And with that,
our applications as shown on Schedule A and approved budget adjustments and recommendations as listed in the quarterly financial report and shown on Schedule A.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Ray?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Brown?
Yes.
And Mayor Farah?
Yes. John, we all set? Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I apologize.
All right, so let's go ahead with 9B.
A proposal by Mr. Messers to be placed at picnic areas number 2 and 3 at Rancho Grande Park. There's no immediate financial impact from this action. Mr. Cottrell is proposing to privately fund both the purchase and the installation of these shade structures. There would be minimum staff time required for some consultation, some coordination, and some inspections of the actual installation. User of the park for many years. He and many of his friends routinely walk the park one or even two times a day. Sometimes they exercise their dogs, and it was his observation that the park offers very little shade or protection from elements such as, you know, short little rainstorms. And as a result, he's offered to purchase and install two 16 by 24 shade structures to be placed at the areas we previously adjacent to the basketball court. They're already existing barbecue areas. This would just be to basically cover two of the three tables in each of the barbecue areas. At the September 12 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, the commission considered the recommendation from the staff to accept this proposal. Public comment was taken, and the commission voted to continue. Held hearing notices to residents living within 300 feet of Rancho Grande Park, and notices were also posted at the park, advising park visitors and local residents of the hearing. Mr. Cottrell also volunteered to pay for the temporary installation of story poles so that the visitors and the neighbors of the park would have a good idea of what the... At the October 10th Parks and Recreation Commission meeting, the public hearing was held, comments were taken. Approximately 40 people attended the meeting for this item. And after public comments, the commission voted unanimously to recommend the approval of this proposal to the city council. In analyzing the issues, as you know, haven't done real well at that park, mostly due to poor soil conditions in the park there. This has resulted in an inadequate amount of shade available in the park. If you've been to that park anytime recently, there's very few, if any, spots you can find to actually sit in the shade there when the well. It's an open-air design to minimize impact on the views from the neighbors. He's taken this into consideration. The structures would have a solid roof to maximize the available shade and a post at each corner, so they'd be very minimal construction. The structures have a low peak roof, which rises approximately 2.5 feet from eave to familiar with the shade structure at Elm Street Park, the large round straight shade structure, that rises approximately 5.5 feet, that shade structure. Also, the height of the proposed structures is lower than the top of the existing basketball court. So again, consideration was given to try and keep this as low a profile for the staff. Mr. Cottrell's proposed structures with metal posts at each corner and a metal roof, which are designed with no cross beams to prevent birds from roosting in the under the roof, again, to minimize the maintenance concerns of the city staff. To add continuity to the park system, the proposed structures are similar in appearance to the color and the overall design of the Elm Street picnic shade cover. At the Conservation Commission meeting, a resident living near the park suggested placing structures at Picnic Area 1, which is the large round structure on the eastern side of the park. Due to the arc of that layout of those tables, it would, in order to cover two tables, it would require a much larger shade structure, which would then impose on either the turf area or lighting poles would have to be taken out in order to accommodate putting a shade. Prior to the October 10th meeting, the Parks Recreation Committee, staff received a letter in opposition to the proposed shade structures, which included the opinion that if shade structures were approved for Rancho Grande Park, they should be more aesthetically pleasing than the structures Mr. Cottrell is proposing. This letter included two photos of wooden shade structures. Structures require significantly more maintenance than metal structures. At this time, I'll go through a quick PowerPoint presentation here. This slide is just the overall overhead view of the park. The proposed area we're talking about is right over here. And it's a very open air design. Here's just a schematic of the proposed, again, very open air, all the way see through with no rafters inside. This is a view from 146 Avenida de Diamante. This was one of the neighbors that was concerned about the view imposed by the shade structure. This would be a view with the story poles. You'll get a little bit better view, but right here, the story poles are up right over here. This is a little bit closer up view. So this would be the roof peak right here. This would all be open air with four poles in the corners. This is a view from the level of the proposed shade structure area next to the barbecues. And this would be the same view with the story over here, barbecue area number 2, and also over the two farthest tables over here in barbecue area number 3. This is a view from the highest point of the park, which is where the bench is on the knoll of the park. This is also a view of the higher part of the neighborhood looking down into the park. This is that same view with the story poles up here. Here's the shade structure right here, placed over two of the tables in area number 2 and two of the tables in area number 3. This is just to show that the round configuration of area number 1 would not lend itself to a rectangular shade structure that would cover two tables. With that, I open it to questions.
Okay. Questions for John? Okay. Questions? And Mr. Cottrell, I would like to invite you to the microphone if you'd like to.
My name is Mel Cottrell. I live at 487 Via Bandolero. And I know I've got 3 minutes, so I'll try and make this thing fit in there. We came up here and wanted this particular spot up here because of the park up here, and the city is something we fell in love with many years ago and wanted to come up here, but we got tied up in business and couldn't make it. But we finally got here, and what a surprise it was. So nice and easy to work with. We just fell in love with this place. And so I had a dog at that time, and I started walking the park, and I thought, this is beautiful. I have a park at the end of the street up here. So I started going there, and I noticed that the park did not have any shade, and the trees weren't doing very well. Well, I thought then, I didn't know much about it, and I thought, well, those trees are planted. So I found out, and I was down talking to a dermatologist, and he said, skin cancer, I have a good idea to sit out of the sun covered up, so most people may walk around in a long sleeve shirt in the summertime. And that even Saunders planned to donate for shade structures in the school. And I didn't know that when I put this, and that I'm so through just myself and the academy to help with that. So I thought of the need, and everybody was absolutely excited about the use park. And everybody thought it was a great idea. Everybody researched where to put them. And what in there, I want something low maintenance, because they wouldn't have to take care of, you know, monster base or a winter. This is how to put frames and so forth, and that would all see in a different part. And I thought it would be such a good idea. I think I'm going to work at the shade structure.
Federation had canvas something that had a 5-year guarantee. Well, I didn't want to have something both the city, but a 5-year guarantee replaced in 6. I thought that's not better for canvas. You want to metal, it'll last virtually off time. So I'm the metal gel where I don't have to kids get out and hang there and climb up there and see what kids tend to do. So after checking with everything and all men, where to put it, what is the right particular spot and the particular shelter. I think it's really an idea for the city and the park. And this is not just the, you know, the people that have bogs and people that have dogs. I still go to the park. I still there and pick the dump poop and the leaf there. And I mean, I just something happen. Yeah, it's something to read. Yeah, the park can use the participation. People are going to use it. I think it'll be the city. I'd really please you.
Thank you. Any questions? All right, we're going to general comments on this item. And I'm going to call your name, Vice Chair Slip, and I'll send me one to take a peek and make sure. John, are any more notes in the second? And I'll be the person who's on deck, so you can have a go of the morning. Okay, our first speaker is Holly Nishida, followed by Ron Ishida.
Good evening. My name is Holly Nishida. I live on Avenida de Montes on a hill, so we actually are looking down onto the park. So we'll see the shore of the roof of this structure, which you see from the photographs that have been shown the staples. Waiver on our street, whose property faces the park, is opposed to this structure. As was reflected, I'll let it to you about a month ago. I hope I don't want that. It was signed by all neighbors. These shade structures are, in my opinion, extremely light. You know, generally speaking, doesn't get too hot, doesn't get too cold. So, you know, shade is kind of a nebulous scene, in my opinion. And it also, my structures are not attractive. The roof is shed light. It looks like a storage shed sitting around. I don't know if it'll be an answer in this park. As I do, I remember about 15 years ago, and more, a lot of discussion about kind of park going to go into this space. Number one of opinions, and that park was going to be as much like a square park as possible. And so the direct gate to the plan is the park. Basically, the map was there to be anything in front of it, but it's not found in the park. So the park is not actually shutters. I don't want to open a can of worms where other people in the community feel like they can then donate other things to the park and start turning into something that's not conducive to the neighborhood park at this time. I'd also like to point out that oftentimes groups come to use the roof shelters or if they find it. Easy apps are common, coming home, they are expensive, they put out a report and they go away, people go home. So in conclusion, that shade structures are, after all, a good idea, which I agree with that you might. Please consider please them down in the blue area number one. This area is an attraction natural pressure in the landscape, and it would, in some way, the land that's down there would be much safer.
Thank you. Ron Ishida, followed by Sharon Brood.
My name is Ron Ishida, direct across the park, and police my wife. I believe that the members of the council are very much aware of fifth-year battle and the tens of thousands of dollars spent legal fees to find a catch on the park pit. Many people are not aware of the many ideas that were proposed and rejected, from building a solar light park to the Southern Avenue Park and building 24 homes, to moving 178,000 cubic yards of dirt from beyond some of the ideas that were proposed. Luckily, under the then-city council members and Dan Hernandez's leadership, a workable proposal was made. Another type of bill, the Tyne Manor, will lose $500,000 of spent funds available, yet to be divided into three lots, the surprise of about $7,000, I recall. This amount was believed to be out of the park. There's a lot of chances to selling park lands. I don't know. I'm going to realize that now they say we probably would not have a park day. People are working along, having to take the money, expect the park in front of the homes when they build over just the homes. But this sacrifice meant to, we had to say as to what park would be like. Or, those are heavies, meant to the lower half park. And then those structures would be placed near the three lots and near homes.
Today's show. That's a part because we have a lot of young families that are time on the with the graphics there now, whether it's changed or not, and a lot of married people that simply want to ISO to and ice. So we ultimately, as a council, decided that that would mirror Drawther Park. The principal issue was we would mirror Drawther Park and in turn we would have a million fields and not Lancaster Park where we would have leaves up there and lots and all that. In fact, I think there was even discussion that somebody wanted to put in the court and the lights and the axe. So the neighbors made very clear that they wanted to pass it part, and that's where sort of the start design came in. Have been out there with a resident and working in a park as a volunteer. It is clear to me that those trees in the community are not going to provide adequate shade, and a park is made of shade. The public we have that doesn't have. I appreciate Holly and Ron and Sharon's concerns. I think we have to look at the neighborhood as a whole. I think our rule is always to look at the public role, and that's really the standard that we have to use. I just want to comment for stepping forward. It's interesting, the League of Cities magazine called Western Cities, and particularly with the fiscal situation in cities now, everybody's trying to balance their budget, everybody's trying to do more or less, and so there's an article in the science to step forward and volunteer and do science things. And so for the capacity from the leader that's willing to do this is just a tremendous thing. So I'm hoping that our residents that are watching, community members that are watching home, that have some extra money laying around and head up and do some more of that. So once again, I'm grateful for all you who turned out this evening, and I'm going to support this evening as well.
I'd like to move that the City Council approve the proposal by Mr. Patel. I believe on purchase of just to take that here is to end.
Okay, motion is there. Any further discussion?
Just one second. Welcome to the World of City Council.
Okay, very good. Motion and a second discussion. Roll call, please.
Yes.
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 By the way, your service is becoming due now. In the good.
Come here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have some additional items if we can ask you to come outside. Have a good night. Okay, moving on to item 10, team business, we have none. And that takes us to item 12, city council member items, we have no to the city. Item 13, city manager, we do have one, especially of the fiscal year 14 and 15 by annual budget goals.
Yes, a quick guide, 3 years where we prepare budget, we start January with developing some recommended budget goals. Traditionally, we brought them as an idea council meeting feedback and authorization directly from the council, and we proceed to utilize those goals in concurrent. The last budget, you know, challenges and things going on, there was recommendations from council to do a little more extensive process where we had a series of public workshops, you recall, rather than just do the council meeting. This year, post benefit release action, of course, some of the other goals also established for us, so past year, we had indicated we're going to focus on this year, so it's a lot of new goals we kind of starting to budget challenges or we just started. So, and then given the lack of participation last budget workshop, we recommend it to me, although something that not workshop, but through our new website, try to incorporate some into this, we'll reach out and find ways to get feedback from other people in the community. So before we move forward, we'll go to that and see if that's the process.
I think that's good. I think there's a couple things that changed. We did workshops going to what we may change, and we did help to give significant feedback expert, and that was a recommended. I know there's been really significant change in where the direction of...
I'm looking forward to when we can go back to what we have worked on the revenues and change enough that we need to do some planning, so it's a good time. And
all right, post communication, just very, very, very quickly. I'll pass up some material to the council. and I think you've got a couple of documents, so I didn't make a copy around, see, but you can copies. I just wanted to, the strategic initiatives task force that the league has formed, and we've task force together looking at ways in which the league may be to shift gears in terms of the way it conducts advocacy on behalf of cities. And the reason being is, I believe, the technology relationship that government and primarily the state legislature. It's even more critical now with the outcome of the recent election, the passage of Prop 30, that means, and also the fact that the we now have a majority in both the Senate and the Assembly that has a pretty benefit. I'm sure you're all aware of it, but when that happens, it gives that particular party incredible power. They have enough, they have a majority of 2/3, so automatically they vote along with the opposite solution, and they essentially override governor's veto and put a ballot measure on out each time they want, and we reason that they necessary. And so their motivation for negotiating and working with not only local government, but obviously the political party is sort of waning, because they essentially reject our bias, and it's not a political party bias, it's a Taylor bias, because we are all biased towards pursuing our rights at the government level, so that's why we'll sit here today. So that's what Staff Force is all about. There's going to be more information on all of those strategies already. We know that the case file litigation challenging the left takeaways, and also AB 1484, which had the Bob Brack provisions in it, which essentially violated key elements of Prop 22. We're also reaching out and trying to do some networking. And on that subject, one balance I gave you was the California State Leadership Institute. You'll see that we have some members, newly good members into the Assembly and the Senate. So while that's not always guaranteed, that once people go up there and consume that funny water or whatever they think he's bringing up there, that they're not going to switch gears and forget where they came from, we'll get a better shot of working with some of these folks. And of course, the legislation, many of these folks, this is much long-term, they're going to be the same faces. So what we're going to try and do through some of our initiatives is count to these people early on. So this is a quick reference to let you know that the Civic Leadership Institute is alive and well, and before people in the state list, the document is being informative, and it's a source of the whole issue of the fact that local governments, not just cities, but county specialists, enjoy a higher level of trust from their constituents than the CFT governments here on some ballot there in California, and it's supposed to give you a quick reference of what they were and ultimately where they passed for a particular interest. He's on the second. At the top, you will see that there were three cities that that had a measure on the ballot to come first. It's Nito, Sosa, and Grover Beach, of course. And you'll see also that the substitutions and measures in the state of Mesafield, there was only on prevailing wage, and I think Mesa wanted to do stop sourcing. What was the big issue? The union showed up behind both those jurisdictions and spent millions of dollars by and of these measures. They were successful. Grover Beach, most of you know, it kind of brings back to some of our own thinking about the reason why I didn't put ours on the ballot. The message that we completely educated our community before we attempted to take office. And that leads us to the third nomination, which is a charter. That's where we respond. So to do, and I think this is a valuable tool to start our process. So that this is going to provide kind of for a charter toolkit guide that we use to start education that would be the role to do as a foundation for looking at our own charter. And what the survey did was to look not just on municipal affairs and what it means to be more autonomous in terms of your ability to administer your own municipal affairs. So this sort of defines what a municipal affair might be in the left-hand column. On the right-hand column, it talks about cities that benefit from our own charter. Really, a very quick survey, you can't get to use any more charter cities out there that didn't respond to the survey, but I think this is a good foundation for us to start defining for a public that's a charter in terms of being able to administer our own municipal affairs, also of conveying not only to the public, to seek a level within ourselves. So it's work that's ongoing right now with the Chief Commissioner's Task Force, and next week I will be in Sacramento for our strategic goals. It's also going to be a meeting of leadership, and we're going to be formulating the league's goals for next year, and we expect that the work from the strategic task force will be sort of subsumed in one of the goals, number goals. So we're going to follow, and
I'm going to talk to the charter survey. I just want to also bring a recommendation that if you're going to charter process, we're going to be at the beginning of the year, and so I plan to bring back reports that I've been talking about, so the committee will be doing at the beginning of the year.
That's it. All right. Final comments and suggestions? Anything else? All right. That's my council in terms of closed session. If you have a closed session item, we're going to public here to comment on closed session. I just closed session, then to the central council. So council will adjourn closed session.